inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Today on the podcast, we have a brand new investor that just bought his first two rental properties. And on the show today, we're going to talk about how things have been working out for him so far. We'll get into how he decided where he wanted to invest, how he found his rentals, what he's learned along the way, and we'll also talk about one of the big challenges that he's had. One of the properties already had tenants in place, and sometimes that can work out great when you buy a property and you inherit tenants. In his case, it's been very difficult, so we'll see what's going on and how he's dealing with it. Joining us on the show today from Syracuse, New York, is Jeremy Aiello. We'll take a really quick break. We'll come right back and we'll meet Jeremy. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Jeremy, it sounds like you really put some time into researching before you bought your first rental.
Well, it's something I researched for at least 2 years. I talked to a lot of different people, from friends to coworkers, and I always ask the tough questions. And I wanted to really break down the numbers of how much I was going to make and what's it going to cost. So after about 2 years of research, I finally started actually calculating numbers on specific properties. I calculated numbers on properties all across the U.S., trying to compare and contrast. At the end of the day, once I narrowed down my market, I decided to stay in my local area. And it was probably about 3 or 4 months of actually calculating real numbers before I finally found the perfect property for me.
That's great that you ended up staying local. So what was it, just better numbers that you were finding locally than you could have found in other markets throughout the country?
At the end of the day, my number one concern was what it would cost to close. I already own my own property, so I wouldn't be able to qualify for an FHA or a low money down loan. So at the end of the day, I was looking for a low cost property that also yielded good returns. And that was my ultimate goal.
Awesome. All right, so let's hear about it. So you ended up buying two properties kind of back to back. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so after calculating and finding the amount of money I was looking to make and the amount of money I was going to take out of pocket, I closed on a duplex that was currently rented, long-term tenants. I knew right off the bat my mortgage payment was going to be paid by the tenants. I knew I was going to cash flow from day one. However, I wanted to find that property that needed no work, the property that would require little to nothing upon move-in. And once the cash started coming in, I basically saved every penny I could, and I was immediately looking for the second property. However, I learned a lot of good lessons from that first property and learned different strategies and different approaches that I wanted to take. I learned what things cost, and I know that sounds very cut and dry, but until you actually do it, and you don't really know. Every city has their own weird rules, weird laws, minimum water payments, metered payments, and things like that. And you really do learn the true cost of owning a rental property in your specific area.
Yeah, really, really does vary. Now, what about with the inherited tenants? How did that work out?
Yeah, so my tenants, they actually were through HUD, and when I went to sign them into my name through the HUD office, they actually looked at me and asked me, "Are you sure you want to take this on?" And they were your more difficult tenants, if you will. So I definitely receive a lot of phone calls. My phone's always ringing. They always have issues that aren't really issues. I would be lying if I said it didn't take at least a couple hours a month.
Okay.
From the little things, oh, my floorboard's squeaking, and I have to go fix this floorboard, or they're going to, you know, have a panic attack right. or something like that. So I've dealt with some very interesting situations.
So for anyone that doesn't know, so HUD is it's Section 8. This is a government program where the government pays the tenant's rent. So that's one less thing you don't have to worry about, like that most of the rent is covered by the government. You just get a direct deposit every month. Is that right?
And it's definitely something I inquired about and asked as many people as I could before, you know, adventuring down this road. And unfortunately, a lot of people had negative views on renting to HUD. And they said just strict to, you know, traditional renting and things like that. However, you know, I saw it as a, you know, as a challenge or something that I wanted to conquer because the numbers made sense. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's a business.
And it's one less thing to worry about, too, when the money's going to be there every month. I mean, A lot of times I have tenants that are great tenants, but they run into issues every now and then and they're late with the rent. But, you know, in your case, the lion's share of the rent is coming in every month on the first. And then how is it with collecting their part of the rent that they have to pay?
They're very good about it. Like I said, they've lived there for several years. So in a way, they think they own the property, mm-hmm. which is also strange. But they appreciate the property because they've lived there so long and they're never late. They are at the bank first thing in the morning on the first. And I've had no problems with that.
I love it. That's great. So when you went to the housing authority and when you were signing up, did they know these tenants? Is that why they were asking you? Are you sure you want to get involved with this? Did they know those tenants were going to be high maintenance? Is that kind of what they were warning you about?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're warning me about.
Awesome. All right, so you bought that property. How did you find it?
Yeah, I just used traditional means. I used Trulia and Zillow, and I checked the local Facebook ads in the local area. And basically, once I found a few properties I was interested in, I grouped them together for one day of showing, and my real estate agent showed me a few properties in the same day.
So you went out for one day and you bought the property?
One day.
That's awesome. Day. So 2 years of research, you decide I'm going to do this and you went out there and you did it. That's great. Now talk to me about the financing. How did that work out?
Okay. So for the financing, obviously I had to, because my first property was a multifamily home, you had to have 25% down. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, until you do it, you actually don't realize what it costs. And I'm not just talking what it costs monthly to operate your property, but you really learn what it costs to close on these properties. Mm-hmm. You need the year of insurance and the year of taxes and the lawyer fees and the closing fees and what you can't roll into your mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. And once I had a price point of what it would cost to walk in the door, I made my own numbers and realized that it took, let's just say, $20,000 will cash flow me this amount per month. So I knew going forward, once I had, in this case, $20,000 cash, I could then cash flow, you know, XYZ later. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I do my math.
Right. Now, how is it actually worked out? So it's one thing to do a spreadsheet and have your numbers there, and it's a whole other thing when you're actually operating the profit. Have they come in pretty close to what you were projecting?
Yeah, the numbers have been great. At first, I was trying to be a little stingy. I considered not paying for garbage. In our city, you have to pay for garbage privately. I considered not paying for lawn care and some of the small minor things. But once I started posting ads and for my new property, I realized that people really appreciate the little things and they want as little off their plate as possible. And sometimes that's the reason why they're renting. They're not renting mm-hmm. because they don't have the money to buy a house. the renting because they want to be stress free.
So tell me about the second property. When you bought this, was this one also ready to go, or did you have to do work to get it ready?
Yeah. So when I bought the second property, it was a single family home, and I really saw potential in it. It had original hardwood floors from over 100 years ago. It had the yard, it had off-street parking, and it had three bedrooms. It had everything that a small family would want in their own home. I knew I could rent it out from day one, but I knew if I put a little bit of work into it, I could probably increase the rent by 20 to 30%. And that's exactly what I did. I had no problems. I've had over 50 inquiries within the first 24 hours, and I had no problem renting
it out.
That's
great. Now, doing that first deal, when you really the only thing you had to do was close on the property and you were getting rent, did that give you the confidence then to do a property where you needed to put a little bit of work into it?
Yeah, it definitely gave me confidence. At the end of the day, it's still a matter of how much cash you actually have to, mm-hmm. you know, do the renovations or to close on future properties. So buying that place that was move-in ready, or in this case, currently rented, I was able to just start cash flowing and just putting that money right in the bank for the next.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I know the Burr strategy sounds sexy, and doing a big rehab on a property, you can create a lot of equity, but a lot of times it's safer to buy something that needs no work or just a little bit of work, especially when you're first getting started. So was that kind of what you were thinking? Like, did you consider doing the Burr strategy when you were first thinking about doing this?
Yeah, I definitely consider the Burr strategy. I've read a lot of books from, you know, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and several other books. So I was familiar with the Burr strategy. And my goal ultimately was just to try to make my cash, my rate of return back as fast as I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that was to find a place that was rented out with long-term tenants.
Yep. Now, what about when you advertised the second property, your single family property? Did you get a lot of people inquiring about it?
Yeah, it was actually quite overwhelming. That was my first time actually having to, you know, post a vacancy, even though I've helped numerous other friends and coworkers, you know, with making judgment calls on tenants and helping them pre-screen people. You don't really know what you're getting into until your inbox fills up with 50 plus mm-hmm. inquiries.
Right. Yeah. So then how did you narrow it down? I mean, when you have 50 people inquiring about it, how did you narrow that down to a manageable number? How did you weed people out?
So I actually didn't ask specific questions based on income, and I didn't ask specific questions on credit scores, nor did I actually require a background check. I ask the questions, you know, where do you work? Is it full time? Is your roommate or husband, wife, whatever it is in the case, you know, do they work full time as well? And based off of what they told me, you know, I took their word that that's where they worked. And I could basically guesstimate of how much they actually made working there. It's a small community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving forward, that helped me narrow it down. You're down to a few candidates that I actually want to show the property to.
So you didn't do an actual background check on them before you rented to them?
I did not.
Okay. Do you, how has that worked out? Like, have they been good tenants, or do you regret not checking them out a little bit better?
No, the tenants have been great. I really have no complaints based on where they work. The employers already put, you know, an extra mental amount of, you know, trust in these employees, and they do background checks before hiring them. And if they work there and they can prove to me they work there, I realize that if the company can trust them, mm-hmm. I can trust them.
Right, right. Awesome. And how long have they been there for?
My tenants have been there for just a few months now.
Okay, awesome.
I've recently closed earlier this year.
Okay. And so how long did it take you from the time that you bought the duplex till you bought your second property?
I was looking at properties within a month.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. So do you want to keep the same kind of pace up? Like, what are you thinking about doing from here?
Based on my returns and based on the cash flow I'm already receiving, I'm definitely setting a goal for myself to 1 to 2 properties a year.
I love it.
Going forward.
I love it. And so what do you think? Like, after doing the property that was ready to go, already had tenants, and the second property where you had to do a little bit of work and find the tenants, do you have a preference or a direction you'd like to go for property number 3?
I definitely think for property number 3, if you were to look at if the property was, you know, fully complete or beautiful, I guess you can say, that's definitely not where I'm looking. I'm looking at the 5 out of 10, the fixer upper, a property that's in a good location, that has good backbone, that has potential to, you know, increase the rent. But at the end of the day, when you're buying the property, you're buying it at a lower price point, mm-hmm. which, you know, increases your leverage for later on.
That is awesome. So when you were doing the research, like when you were trying to learn everything you could, were there any books that were really helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the heavy hitters, the, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and some of the other real estate books. But one that really stood out to me was More Than Cashflow. It's written by Julie Broad. She's actually a Canadian landlord. And the book really teaches you the risks and the rewards of real estate investing.
If anybody wants to check out that book, I've got a link to it on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 282. I've also got Jeremy's contact information there if anybody wants to reach out to him. One quick thing that I want to point out before we wrap things up is that Jeremy has been very lucky that his tenants seem to be working out so far. But doing a background check is always a good idea. I would recommend that anybody buying a rental property do a background check. It won't guarantee that you're going to get a good tenant, but it'll definitely help you weed out the bad people out there. A background check is usually $50 or less. There's a ton of places you can get them online. And in most states, you can actually pass that cost on to the applicant in the form of an application fee. So it doesn't end up really costing you anything. If Jeremy inspired you and you're ready to buy your first rental property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is our sponsor today. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping people buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs and she can find something that will work for you in your situation. If you want to find out more about Chaley or you want to read about exactly what her company does, you can check her out at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. And when you talk to her, if you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.